Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
This is the Make It Right podcast with Kevin Snook. Thanks for joining us. Clearly, you're interested in ways to improve your manufacturing process and the culture within your working community. And the ideas Kevin Snook puts forward can help you. I'm your host, Janet Eastman, and Kevin joins us this week from Korea. How are you, Kevin?
Very well, thank you, Janet.
Great. This week, we're talking about the information you have in your book in Chapter 4. Your book is Make It Right, 5 Steps to Align Your Manufacturing Business from the Front Line to the Bottom Line. And based on the L in the align process, this chapter talks about how you must create a master plan that has buy-in, input, and support from all employees, from the front line through to the C-suite. So how long does it actually take to build this master plan, and what are the components?
Well, first of all, what I would say is that a master plan is ongoing. And so we need to make sure that we're regularly reviewing to make sure we're moving in the right direction. But actually, to put together the first master plan, if you're starting from scratch, it'll probably take a month, maybe 6 weeks, in order to get the, depending on the size of your organization, in order to get the buy-in from enough of the different people you need to get input from.
Okay, so to make this master plan work, you need that buy-in from employees. So you start by engaging the critical decision makers, having them develop an action plan for their area. So can you define who is actually considered a critical decision maker and what you're looking for them for this process?
Yeah, so I guess a lot of companies think that the main decisions are made from the C-suite. And I think that's absolutely wrong. I think the people that are making the decisions every minute of the day are the people on the front line. So that might be the sales workforce, it might be the front line of the production team. And those are the people that are making the decisions that ultimately will determine the success of the business. And so we want to make sure that as a leadership team, we're supporting the front line to do the things that they need to do in order to be able to be most successful themselves and to drive the business in the to the most successful outcome. And so I want to make sure that the action plan is getting input from the frontline employees to make sure that they're getting the help and support that they need to make those great decisions.
So you must have had some pushback from upper management on engaging the frontline workers in this process. Is the process doomed to fail without this?
I think it is. It's not completely doomed to fail, depending on the size of your business. If you've got a relatively small business and you as the leader want to make all the decisions, that's fine. That'll work for a small business. Once you start to get any scale behind your business, then it becomes completely different. When I was running 1, 2, 3, 4 production lines, I could be pretty autocratic in the way that I was running that business. Once the business was getting to 6, 8, 10 production lines, then you simply don't have the bandwidth or the capacity to be able to make those decisions. You need to have a team that is working as a team in a common direction. And that means that we need to hand over some of that leadership to the right people in the right areas. And what I've found is the more you can push that leadership down to the frontline employees who truly want to do a great job every day. The frontline employees are the ones who have the most invested in the business. They're the ones who are going to have the biggest issues if the business doesn't succeed. And so they want to do the right things. Our job is to give them the opportunity to make those great decisions and to lead the business from the front line.
So there are actually 2 action plans created though, right? There is that frontline one, but there's also one from sales. So how are these suggestions distilled into that final action plan?
Okay, so there will only be one final master plan. Now, I see 2 groups as the core groups in a business. One of those is the salespeople, because they're the only people that are talking with the customers and getting money into the business. The rest of the business is surviving because of the money that comes in directly from the customer. And that's the sales group. So the sales group's critical to have a plan that will deliver what the customers need in order to keep the money flowing. Then there's the other group, which is the production team. They're the only people that are actually making anything in the business, in the manufacturing business. And so the production team and the sales operations team are both, the critical, I would say, the core departments everybody else in the business, including the leadership team, is there to support those two groups in order that they can do the best possible job they can. So what there's one master plan, but the way that I've found it to be most successful is that if the sales team comes with their plan, the manufacturing team comes with their plan of what they need to do. Now remember, in letter A of the align process, we set a direction for the business. So this is not an abdication of the direction of the business to the sales team or the operations team. The leadership team has already set a compelling direction. What we're doing is then saying to the sales team and the manufacturing team, hey, what's the best that we can do for you? How can we best help you in the action plan to move us as a company in that compelling direction?
Okay, so once we've got that big goal determined and the master plan is established, you suggest that there should be contracts established between departments and teams. Mm-hmm. Why is this a good idea? This sounds really interesting.
Well, the first step is to have the sales team and the operations team build their plans. And then everybody else, as I mentioned, is a support department. They need to then build their plans and on how they're going to most effectively support the sales team and the manufacturing team to do the work that they need to do. And so you end up with this, with these separate silos, if you like, of responsibility. I think people now understand that silo management doesn't work. What we need to do is have contracts between those different silos. I know that talking about silos is going to be controversial, but the fact is we need very clear demarcation between different groups so that people know what they're responsible for and accountable for. And so each individual group has this action, their own individual action plan. We need to make sure that they are completely linked towards moving the business in one direction. And the way they do that is through talking to each other. So contract is really just a way of communicating effectively on the things that are most important that sometimes we feel uncomfortable about talking. And so I call it a contract because it really is an opportunity to sit down and talk everything that we need to talk in order to be able to then make a smart decision to move in one direction.
And basically everybody knows that if you don't keep your part of the contract, then my side fails and we all fail.
Yeah, it's going to be suboptimal solution. And so having an individual department budget is important. Having individual department goals is important. But those goals mean nothing if they're not taking the business in one direction. And so we need to make sure that within that contract, within those discussions between departments, it really is the most helpful way to move the entire business forward.
Okay, so at this point, what's the role of the leader once the plan components start coming together?
Well, there's decisions to make because there's going to be different priorities for each department. You know, we're human beings and a lot of human emotion comes into this action planning process. You know, people want to protect their own departments, want to protect their own jobs. That's a natural feeling. What we as leaders need to do is then, with the overall business direction absolutely clear for us and compelling for us, break through some of those human emotions and say, well, look, these are going to be the priorities. What I've found is that when you have that conversation, you actually make that step to align people, then they don't mind whether their idea is implemented. They want their idea to be listened to and then to be included in a plan that's best for the business. What a lot of companies miss out on is that communication, is that actually having that discussion so that people know why they're doing the things that they're doing, even if they may be areas that they perhaps, it wasn't their idea in the beginning.
Right. So part of that communication is that the CEO has to regularly stay in front of employees, and with really large factories, I'm sure that this is a problem. You're suggesting the use of video. So the CEO should be shooting a video once a week or every day to say, hey, here's what's happening.
Technology has changed so much. You know, back in the past, we used to have these ridiculous town hall meetings. There wasn't really a way to do it other than that. You'd shut down the factory for a for a shift, or you'd take people in after their shift had finished and try to talk to, you know, hundreds or thousands of people in one go. And, you know, that would be the flagship time that the CEO visited the factory. There's no need for that anymore. You know, we have smartphones. Everybody in your business most likely already has a phone with video capability. So why is the CEO not communicating the business direction every day with the employees, and also using that as an opportunity to recognize great performance, to call out particular departments that have done something outstanding, you know, to give feedback to the teams? So I believe that using the new technology is critical for the leadership team to be able to make sure that ongoing direction and the progress towards the direction is clear in the minds of every employee.
Now, do you see people actually doing that?
Very few. There are a few companies that have more regular video releases from the leadership team, but no, I think it's a great opportunity area for, you know, a couple of companies to take this and move forward with it.
Right. Explain how you see the use of KPIs.
Yeah, this is KPIs, key performance indicators. I love this term, and it's so badly used by many companies. A lot of people use KPI in order to beat up the organization. You know, it's this idea of, well, you didn't meet your KPI, therefore I can downgrade you, or I can give you less of a pay rise or whatever. I think the KPIs should be set by the individuals, not by the business. For me, a KPI is all about how do I inspire myself to do better. And so the key performance indicators have to be in line with where the business is going. But then within that, I know my job, I know my function better than anybody else does, because I'm the one who's doing it every day. And I want to be able to use those KPIs to inspire me forward. So then my role would be to say, well, what are the key measures? What are the things that I really need to do every day, every week, every month in order to really take the business forward towards the goals of my action plan? And then I want to set my own KPIs. We know that when people set their own goals, they have a much higher success rate, and so than being told that you have to achieve something by somebody else. So this is another area where we can get direct buy-in. For me, KPIs should be driven by the individual and then aligned with their manager in the direction of the business.
Okay, and you also, I think this probably flows on from the KPIs, but you also talk about dual targets. So nobody likes to fail, but you know, you can't set a goal that is not really attainable at this point in time. So you suggest dual targets.
It's very important for the business to have some fixed measures that we can move forward on. So some commitments from each department and from each individual. And so if you've been running a production line for the last, you know, 3 years at 80% efficiency, it's a little bit crazy to say I'm now going to run that at 95% efficiency. The finance team, you know, actually everybody, sales, forecasting, you know, purchasing, everybody needs to have something that they can rely on. And so saying, you know, one goal is that, yes, we believe that we will definitely achieve 82% efficiency next year. That's great. But then we also want to have a stretch goal in order to be able, for the individuals to be able to challenge themselves and to try new things. And so if that, what I'm suggesting is that we have a firm goal or a committed goal so the business can do its planning effectively. And then we have stretch goals for the individuals, and they're setting them themselves based on what they think would happen if everything went right. So that might be that we have a firm goal of 82% efficiency for the department and a stretch goal of 87% efficiency. And then, you know, what do we need to do to push towards that? And as we do outperform our firm goal, we want to be very transparent about that so that the business planning processes can adjust over a period of time to make sure that we've got the right materials, the right people, etc., to continue moving the business forward.
Okay. So you say that there are three key documents that you should use to keep the business running smoothly. You have them all the time. What are they?
Yeah, and I don't really like the word should, What I've found is that that these ones really help me, and that is the main master plan or the action plan that has the compelling direction of the business and then what each department has committed to do in the action plan. The next one is a scorecard. So, you know, we've got the direction, we know how we're going to get there, and then we need to know whether we're making progress. So that scorecard is critical to, you know, we'll talk about that more when we talk about information systems, but that's critical to know where we are on that path. And then I want to have an individual action plan or attainment plan for the person that I'm speaking to at that time. So what have they individually committed to the business? And where are we on that progress?
Okay, we're almost out of time, so I've got just a couple of quick questions for you still. But you want the leader that you follow to lead authentically. So how do you actually lead authentically?
You get comfortable with yourself. I think if you as a leader have decided on how you're gonna lead yourself and then you reflect that in the business. And I like the idea of a leader being an inspiration to the organization, and you can only be an inspiration if you feel inspired. So you have to find out what it is that inspires you and then bring that to work every day. Nobody wants to work for a boss who feels miserable, feels beaten up, and you know is coming in not feeling full of energy. So whatever it is that gives you as an individual energy, then you want to make sure that you're doing those right things so that each day you walk into the business, you can inspire other people with your energy.
Okay. You often get this question when you meet with companies, and it's all around employee engagement. Like many companies feel that there's not even enough time to do the basic maintenance on their equipment, let alone implement employee improvement ideas and things like that. How can this be managed in a busy manufacturing environment?
Yeah, it has to be managed. If we don't take the time to improve, then we start going backwards. And so in part of the operating strategy, we need to set up the time in order to be able to make continual improvement. Many companies are just trying to push out the next product, and this is where it all falls down. You need to be building an operating strategy around the business so that we do have time to make improvements. We do have time to put in the great ideas that individuals have, as well as doing the maintenance and alignment of the equipment that we need to do. So don't skimp on the improvement efforts. Make sure that your operating strategy has time to do the right things.
Let's talk about what we're going to find out about in chapter 5. It's the I in align, inspire with information. Just give us a quick overview of what we can expect.
Yeah, if you're driving your car and you need to get somewhere, you've got a fuel gauge and it tells you whether you've got enough fuel to get there or not. And most likely you're going to go and get more fuel before your car breaks down. In a lot of companies, they're doing the opposite from that. They're running the equipment to failure, they're running departments to failure, and quite often they're running the business to failure because they don't have the right information to tell them what they need before they have an issue. And so just like the fuel gauge, we need to make sure we've got the right information in real time for people to be able to make really good decisions.
Okay. Thanks very much, Kevin. We're going to chat to you about the I in Align next week. And the book is called Make It Right, 5 Steps to Align Your Manufacturing Business from the Front Line to the Bottom Line is now available at makeitrightbook.com. So check it out. And if you have any questions for Kevin, do give us an email and we'll do our best to get Kevin to answer them. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you very much.